Hey, everybody. Welcome to My Wave Podcast. We're talking about the one most memorable wave that a surfer might have. It's really fun as I meet people and start talking about this topic. Sometimes almost instantly, a wave pops up. Sometimes people are a little pondering in there. They're thinking of more than one wave. And then I've had rare times where somebody said, I haven't had it yet. And so today we have Sean Rutke with us, and a crazy story about the Sean Rutke and our last opportunity to interview. It was at that time, like my best time with someone on the podcast. We were talking, we were going all over the place. It was epic. And it was getting up in like 55, 56 minutes. I'm like, oh, this is so good. I hate to land the ship. But we landed it. I went home. I was getting ready to jump in the car and drive to Georgia. So I wanted to upload it before. And I was like, something's wrong. And the SD card was full. And I lost probably 75% of the conversation, and I about vomited. And I called you, Sean, and I was like, Sean, you won't believe what happened. And then we've tried back and forth, and here we are today. Beautiful, sunny October day. Sean, welcome to the My Wave Podcast.
Kyle, it's beautiful to be with you 20 months later, I believe it is.
At least. Yeah. At least. Yes, and I can't wait to hear what wave you're going to share. I don't know if it's the same one. I think we were in Hawaii. But I think you just threw out on the table a possible twist.
Well, I was thinking in the pool before we arrived at this location, and I said, I think I need to do two. And we need to do, because we lost the last one, okay. We'll lay down the track for my biggest intense wave. And we'll also throw, maybe if you allow me, my tiniest, most humbling wave.
All right. Before we jump into I want to give out a shout out to our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag, it's played like dodgeball, but with arrows. You can check them out at sullysarcherytag.com. It's a mobile event, so they bring the fun to you. All you need is a piece of property size of a volleyball court, indoor or outdoor. And super fun time. Check them out, sullysarcherytag.com. Also, if you are listening and you like what we're doing and you like to support us, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/mywave, and you can buy me a $5 cup of coffee or five $5 cups of coffee, whatever you'd like to do to help support the work here at My Wave Podcast. That's buymeacoffee.com/mywave. So, Sean.
Kyle.
Thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yes. So, I've been admiring your work with EDA Surf for a while through Instagram. And then I can't remember the connection. I think I had some people on the podcast say, hey, you need to interview Sean. And so we finally were able to connect that 20 months ago or however long it was. And man, I'm honored. I admire your work. Some good stuff. What do you do at EDA Surf?
EDA Surf is a art brand that I started in 2005 with the mission to uplift spaces through the power of water. So practically, I enter the water with a waterproof camera. I aesthetically capture water. Mm-hmm. I consult with customers as to what kind of water they want in their built environment space. This could be healthcare, offices, or homes, to bring them to a higher level of consciousness in the built environment. And we do this through breaking waves, placid, calming, linear water. And it is a full service art business. So we provide lots of different mediums to choose from. And we've been in business for 19 years.
Fantastic. So people can find your work on Instagram, EDA Surf.
EDASurf.com.
.com.
Oh, yep.
Or the website.
Yep. Okay. At EDA Surf on Instagram, EDASurf.com. And I didn't write it down, but I do have my own podcast, Speaking From Water.
Yeah, I've seen that. Haven't had the time to sit down and really listen to one, but you've had some great interviews on your snippets there on Instagram. I'm intrigued.
Thank you very much. Yeah, on that channel, we speak with water legends from all over the world, from big wave surfers to water photographers to ocean rescue lifeguard champions to also now religious figures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an interesting one that just dropped last week.
Yeah, with my my uncle, Pastor John Rutke. That was a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah, much love.
Oh, cool, cool. So, Sean, where are we going to go for your first? You said there's two. There's tiny and then there's this epic. So
I think it's important we start with the beginning because there might be a lot of people on this podcast who aren't surfers or are mm-hmm. thinking of becoming surfers, and all surfers can relate to their first wave.
Truth.
And it is it's a memorable experience that one never forgets. So I think I'd like to start there and we'll see where we go to the biggest wave.
Okay. So where are we going?
Let's go to Ocean City, Maryland.
Hey, OC.
Right, right.
That's right. We do share that connection, don't we?
Do.
The Maryland connection.
We do, yeah. It's a place that's rugged. It has a heavy wave when it does break, mm-hmm. and it's a humbling spot. You know, it's cold even in the summertime up there compared down here to Wilmington, North Carolina, where it's really hot in the summer.
Yeah. I paddled out in January of this year in OC, and it was 42-degree water.
Brutal.
It was chilly.
That'll wake you up.
Yeah, it will.
Talk about an ice bath.
Yeah. I was on my way up visiting some folks, and I stopped in Outer Banks, and I realized the water was 45 in Outer Banks, and I realized, man, my booties are really letting water in and out, and my feet were blocks, and my hands were cold. So I ran in that evening after that session and bought a new pair of booties, and then I got to Ocean City, and I was like, oh, even my gloves can't take this.
It's hard to stand up when it's like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got some new equipment out of the trip.
Nice.
It was cold. But yeah, good times. Ocean City.
Right.
But now, was this back when there were jetties every 3 or 4 or 5 blocks?
You know, we're going to go circa 1989.
Okay, yeah.
88.
Yep.
Right. So just kind of to set the stage, I was a aspiring surfer, mainly through culture of Surfer magazine and surfing movies from the time period, and I hadn't I had boogie boarded, and our family would go to the beach about once a year for about a week to Ocean City, 136th Street Sea Time condos, and I was always just in the ocean as much as I could, but the surfing was elusive. I didn't have a surfboard. There was a garage sale in my little town, keep in mind 3 hours from the beach, and they had a surfboard there, and I bought it for $100, and boom, I'm a surfer now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Dude, we're sharing a very similar story. What year did you graduate?
High school?
Yeah.
1999.
99. Okay. So I'm a little bit older. I graduated in 89.
Okay.
But similar time frame, like about 86, 87, I bought this glassed in 6'4" Sundancer. I think it was Sundance and Spectrum Surfboard, Sundance Surf Shop there in Ocean City.
I know it well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the shortboards were relatively new, you know. They're only about 10 years old in this time period, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I got a surfboard. I've been watching Baywatch every Saturday morning, and Kelly Slater was that time period, and I was just like, man, that guy can surf. No one really knew who he was at the time. He hadn't become famous on the tour yet, and I was like, man, if I could only be like him, I would get a surfboard and I will do what he does immediately. And I thought it was going to be so easy, and we go to the beach that summer. It's August, and I got my surfboard, I got the wax, I got a new leash from the surf shop there. I think it was from Sundance. I head out after the lifeguards leave, because you're not allowed to surf before 5 o'clock in Ocean City. Yeah, you got to go to a zone. And yeah. I didn't have transportation. So I head out, and it's about waist high. And there had been a ripper there all week. He'd come out after 5, and I was just like, man, that guy's good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show him what's up. So I head out, and immediately just start nosediving, just start eating it and eating it and eating it. And I was like, wow, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. The nose just is going down every time, purling, just mm-hmm. purling. So my first session there, I was just super frustrated. There, if you know about Ocean City, there's dumpsters everywhere. And I'm walking off the beach, and I got the smell of a dumpster in my nose. And I'm like, I'm trashing this thing. I cannot do this. I'm, and then it came over me. I said, no, you're not quitting. you're gonna wake up and you're gonna do this in the morning before the lifeguards get there. And all week I was just trying, and then as the week ended, I went down the line on my first time.
Oh,
so there we go. There's my first wave.
Yeah.
And it's a memorable experience in that I will never forget the feeling of of moving with the water as the wave is breaking. I was not riding whitewash. This mm-hmm. was a true wave experience where you're locked in that vortex, and granted it was maybe knee high, but I was moving with it, and I'm sure if we had video footage of this moment, it would be very unremarkable. But it changed my life from that moment on, and from that moment on, I was a surfer.
Yes.
And to this day, I will never forget.
Oh, fantastic. Very similar. I worked hard. I live 2 hours from Ocean City, but we go out there.
Where were you?
Hyattsville, Maryland.
Okay.
Right outside of D.C.
Yep.
And so go out there, and we vacation 2 weeks every year at the Outer Banks, so I had that
nice
opportunity as well. But tried. I remember guys were surfing. And I remember vividly, two of my friends were trying to paddle out. We can't get out. It's too big. We can't duck dive to save our life. And this dude comes in, he kicks off, and as we come up floundering, he goes, "Dude, you're going to die. Go to the beach." And we were like, "Is he serious?" And we didn't realize what we were getting ourselves into. But it was a good, for me, about a year of weekend warrior, trying, nobody to help. And then I was in Virginia Beach, took off, went straight. It wasn't a real wave, but it was my first time up on my feet, going straight. And you'd have thought I beat Kelly in the final heat, you know, of Pipe Masters. Like I was just celebrating. Great, great story. But it burns in your brain, that feel, that especially turning and going down the line. That's what we hunt for. That's what we go back in the water for.
To this day.
Yeah. So be careful if you're all listening to this and you're like, "Man, I would really like to try surfing." It could change your life.
It will change your life.
Yes. And for the good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's sick. Thanks for sharing that. So that was how old you would have said you were about?
I would say I was about 10.
10.
Yep.
Oh my. Good stuff.
Yep.
And then from there, kept surfing.
Yeah, every once a week once a year for 7 days.
Yeah,
that was. And then when I hit about 14, our family started going from Ocean City straight to the Outer Banks. So then I had about 2 weeks full in the year, and I spent the rest of my year just dreaming of it until I guess I was 16 when I got my license, and then I kind of had more of the world in my hands, mm-hmm. and we got maybe 3 weeks a year. But it was this dream of the ocean that got me through high school. So I have a learning disability, and I went through high school. It was a very tough period as far as like getting through it, but I got through it with honors. With the determination to get to college, to get to the beach. And I wanted to go to Boca Raton because that's the only school I could find on the East Coast that was going to have a wave and a school.
Mm.
And then this my counselor, she's like, "You know, there's a school called University of Wilmington in North Carolina." And I was like, "Well, are they going to be able to, you know, have the accommodations I need to know, be successful?" And my family went down for a visit. This is 1998, and I fell in love with Wilmington. We woke up on Market Street, and I was like, "Well, this is an interesting place." we quickly made it to Wrightsville, figured out where the beach was, and we stayed at right there at Mercer's, and
nice.
I saw these kids just ripping. Shouts out to the Gilligan brothers at the time. I think they might have been 13, and they're just pulling these airs that were just incredible. And I was like, "Man, this is the place." And it was on from then on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got in by the grace of God to UNCW, and we did it.
Yeah. So at UNCW, then there was a surf club, surf team. Did they have that?
The there was no surf team really at that time. But I came to town knowing zero people. And the first dude that walked in my dorm, I had a beautiful bunch of friends I met the first day, and this guy walks in, Carl Wallen, shouts out to Carl, And he had this blonde hair, and he had this grace about him. And I said, man, that guy is a surfer. I'm going to befriend him. So I befriended Carl, and I got in with all the local boys right away.
Yeah, deal.
And from that was my club. That was my surf club. And we just we'd wake up every day, go surfing, and just go surfing. That's really when I found my chops.
Yeah. Yeah.
They showed me Masonboro. They showed me all the spots in town.
That's great. When Masonboro was a secret?
I don't know if it was ever a secret.
Drew. Man, talk for a second about Wrightsville Beach and the quality of surfers. Because as I came down here doing the day trip with the family from Raleigh for 15 years, and then moved down here, I was blown away. There's some quality surfers, guys and girls, here at Wrightsville Beach.
It's really an incredible culture that lives here, and it draws from a deep history of community that, through my time, I've done a lot of research, and it goes back to the beginning of surf history, really. If we can get into my wave story later, there's a guy named Derek Doner, who's a big wave surfer from Hawaii. He invented tow-ins with Laird, and he grew up here in Wilmington. I recently had him on my podcast, cool, Speaking from Water, and he detailed his cultural experience here in the 1960s and early 70s, and he went on from living on figure eight to becoming a lifeguard at Waimea, and one of the best lifeguards ever to be on the North Shore. He studied under Eddie Akau, and so like the legends that come out of this town are incredible. You know, there's just in recent times we have the Ben Bourgeois,
right?
And it's really epic. And you feel it, but you don't really know until you put your time in here in Wrightsville Beach.
Yeah I've enjoyed stepping back and just watching and then getting to know some of these guys. The other day, super small, it was a Monday evening, and there are two guys out, and as we rolled up for our weekly gathering with Christian Surfers Wrightsville Beach, and I was like, man, these guys. And then I noticed it was Mason Barnes and Justin Parr, and these guys were trading off on these little bitty soft waist high occasionally and making it look beautiful. And so, man, what a great place to be involved in.
Yeah, and just to lay it on Mason Barnes for a second, I mean, the guy has the record right now for the biggest wave ever ridden, and he came out of this town. Mm-hmm. So the amount of just, well, first of all, he's an amazing human. He's nice. He's approachable. He's a really good guy. But he's also the best at mini airs, and then he's also the best at massive toe waves at like all the big spots, Nazaré, everything. So I mean, the list is long of surfing legends. Yeah. And even surf photographers. You know, DJ Struntz,
right,
came out of here. He was the number one surf photographer in the world for about 10 years from 2000 to 2010, and traveled the world with the Hobgoods, with Global and all that. So like this place, it might have small waves on the face of it, but you stick here long enough, you're gonna see world-class waves at the spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what they are. And you're gonna feel just genuine surf culture. Like I've traveled all over the world, and I keep coming back here just with awe as to what is here. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to blow it up with my conversating, but it is a gem in this world.
I agree. So thanks for sharing that first wave and lighting the stoke. Now your career in surfing took off in college because your proximity and opportunity and just the to surf with guys and to be challenged by them and to observe them. I've learned so much in the last year with my new job that, man, where was this when I was 25? You know, but I think my surfing has advanced in the last year and a half just from watching guys and then trying to imitate and mimic and talk to them, asking them questions. And so whoever is listening, don't be too proud to ask for helpful criticism, helpful instruction on advancing your game.
And I would even go further on that. Just like on land, in the water, be yourself. Don't think about others or what others think. Mm-hmm. Do your own dance, mm-hmm. and you'll find your personal style. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, I think if we try to mimic others, then we lose a part of ourself.
True.
And you can be inspired, and you can gain knowledge. But like, you are you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I didn't mean mimic in want to copy them, but just to learn from them.
Totally. Yeah. And I didn't mean to correct you there all. No. Like that.
Totally good.
Because I found that is a tenet that I've found over years of doing surfing. And, you know, mm-hmm. when I first started, I wanted, again, at the beginning, to be Kelly Slater. Well, I'm never going to do that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we all knew this.
Yep. Yeah. And to aspire to surf to the best of your ability, but keeping your own flow, your own style, be yourself. When you find yourself wanting to be others, you let yourself down, and that's not a good place, because then mentally you're in a bad space.
100%.
And so be yourself, enjoy, and go catch some waves.
Ride the wave.
Yeah. So where are we going for your?
Okay, well, I'm gonna go. So we're in college, and I come home to visit my parents, and there's a legendary figure in the lore of my family. My dad's best friend from high school, Tim Shanley. I've always heard him. He had moved out to the North Shore in the late '70s, and started a new life. He comes back to visit my father around 2000, right when I started the university. I'm a surfer now, you know, I'm surfing every day. Mm-hmm. And I meet him, he brings his two little kids, Brick and Ryan. They're very, very young, and he's like, yeah, come out anytime to the North Shore, you can stay with me. Classic North Shore comment, and he meant every bit of it, and I took him up. And immediately that spring break, I bought a ticket to the North Shore for, I think it was like $400, and I got to the North Shore. I immersed myself in this culture, which is a different culture. It's a very heavy, hardcore culture. Mm-hmm. It's rugged. Anyone who's been there knows this. So I get out there just with my eyes wide open. It's springtime, so it's not pumping like it normally is. I do a little surf some smaller waves. I bring my Action 6.2, and it works for a little bit at V-Land, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm surfing the North Shore. Then a swell pops up like the last couple days before I leave, and his next door neighbor is Derek Doner. So Derek shows me the ropes. We go out the sunset. I get absolutely pitched. I come out there the next year with just gumption in my soul. And I went out there 16 years in a row. So this is year number two.
Okay.
And Derek is like, all right, this year we're gonna. I go out more in January. And Derek, again, the man, the legend, the myth from Figure Eight Island, who went out there to study under Eddie Acau and do toe-ins with Laird. He'd already made his mark on the universe at this point. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go out with him. So let's see. Let me correct myself. We're now three. This is trip number three, and it's 2003. Mm. It's New Year's Day.
Okay.
I go out to the backyards. We're staying at backyards. Derek's is next door. Timmy is, Tim Shanley's living next to Derek. And Derek's like, all right, you're going to go out with me. Phantoms is 20 feet, and there's no wind. This is extremely rare. And I was like, well, I'm really scared, but if you say so and you're the lifeguard master, I'll go with you. He's all right, I have a Lopez 12 footer, and I'm going to ride mine, and here's one that you can ride. So I'm like, okay. So I walk the beach. We paddle out at right there on the left of backyards, where there's a huge channel. We paddle out almost dry to Phantoms, and Phantoms breaks on the outside of V-Land. If you know anything about the North Shore, it's kind of like the top of the North Shore before sunset. Huh. And this was a long period swell. It was maybe 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 feet. And man, like the first one that comes through, it's just a mountain of moving water. And I was just tweaking, and I just start paddling to the horizon. He's like, stop paddling, stop paddling. I didn't listen. I just paddled, and he turned, he burned, he caught the thing. I mean, there's only two, it was just us two out. Oh. Before anyone got there. It was early in the morning, and And I was like, whoa, that was something. And he paddles back after his wave. And he's like, all right, next time, don't go to the horizon. Your brain's going to tell you to go to the horizon, but you're not going to catch it. Mm. You got to, when I turn, you turn. And like the very next wave that comes on the next round of sets, he's like, all right, turn. Mm. And we both turn and we both ride this thing together. And then when I stood up on this thing, I thought I was, it brought me back to that first wave. And that's why I wanted to bring these two waves up, because I thought I was going to pearl immediately. And I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did. I dropped in straight. It felt straight down. And we just rode that thing straight down. Mm. And if you've ever seen this wave, it kind of like throws the top and then it crumbles out, and it's a big one. It's not like Jaws where it's like top to bottom barreling, but it's a great big wave kind of starter, I would say. It's not the deadliest thing ever, but it was something to behold in the memory books. Yes,
dude. Trying to, because I got to visit North Shore this year, and it was in between swell, so I didn't see anything away on the outside breaking like that. But knowing just the little that I know of North Shore, that had to be an amazing moment in your life to look back, the scenery and the iconic setting, and then to be with this charger and him calling you into that wave. And then ride it with you. I don't think you mentioned that part the last time we talked.
Yeah, that was a clear part of it, as I recall.
Yeah, sweet. So paddled back out.
Yeah, we had a full session. It was about a 2-hour session. I think I caught maybe 3 waves.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just kind of, they're difficult to catch when you're not used to it.
Yeah,
you got to really force your brain into the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you're sending yourself over a ledge.
Yeah, a ledge, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for those listening, talk for a second about, one, swell period, what it does to a wave, and then two, the mindset to push yourself over that ledge.
Right.
On those bigger
days. Right, right. So just there's wave height and there's wave period. Wave period is the amount of time in seconds between sets, and it's measured with buoys. Mm-hmm. So when a buoy goes up, they measure how much time it takes for it to then go down and then go up again. So the longer the amount of time between the sets, the more power there is in the wave.
Mm-hmm.
So take a hurricane that's off the coast of North Carolina with a long period. Those waves are going to have more power, and when they hit a sandbar, say on Wrightsville Beach, unless it's at like the perfect angle, which is how the wave is trajectory, how it's hitting the beach. It's gonna maybe close out because of the way the sandbar can't hold mm-hmm. a long period here. So that's why around here, like 8 to 10 seconds is perfect. When we start getting into anything above that or in this region, it's not gonna hold.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a place like North Shore where there's a stable bottom, like a reef, or say in a place like Raglan where there's a rock structure, those spots are going to be able to handle larger periods of swell.
Mm-hmm.
You then calculate that with the height of the wave, and then you find your ratio of just intensity. So if you in on the North Shore, they have like a 20-20 club, like 20 feet 20 seconds, and that's like anything above that, people are like, dang, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Mm. Okay, no, good advice. Now you're sitting there, he hands you this board that you've never ridden. It's bigger than anything you've ever seen, probably. And then you paddle out, and now he's calling you into,
well, just macro speaking, it's always important to know your limits. Mm, and if I was me with my East Coast board on the beach and I'd have no business standing on that beach with that board. Mm-hmm. I had faith that one, someone with maximum experience was telling me to do something. Mm-hmm. I put my faith in his knowledge. I also put my faith in his equipment. Mm-hmm. His equipment was designed over years of work and knowledge to do what it was that it did. Mm-hmm. And that is that's a very key point here in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But then the mindset now, because you're challenging yourself, you're pushing yourself. You said, I was scared, and that's an honest assessment. That's a good thing. But then you assessed, hey, this guy, this equipment, this time, and you sent it with that aspect of, I believe that given all the facts, this is going to be a successful mission.
Exactly. And also, let's also take into account the conditions. There was no wind flying up the face of that wave. I had surfed smaller waves at sunset with smaller board, smaller wave, but it was scarier because of the amount of offshore wind that was blowing water into my eyes.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel the drop or see the drop, and that with my limited experience at the time was sketchy. Mm-hmm. In this circumstance, there was no wind flying at me. It was as glassy as it gets, and that factor was a key part to that experience.
Mm-hmm. And this brings into knowing your limits, knowing the conditions, and then pushing that with wisdom. Sometimes guys get themselves in trouble, wrong equipment, wrong place, wrong time, not ready, and it can be dangerous.
Yep, it can be.
What's your sketchiest moment in the water so far?
Oh, absolutely. We'll go 2006. This is an easy one. I had just gotten a new water housing, and I was on the North Shore for my annual trip, and I'd spent the previous year with a different water housing, less impressive, swimming at sunset. So I thought I was a very experienced sunset swimmer. This is Sunset Point down the beach from Phantoms. And, you know, maybe I was out there at 10 foot, 20 foot faces, and in the channel, got some good footage. And this following year, I was very disappointed that the lighting was bad the whole trip. And I hadn't really got a good opportunity to use this new camera and housing. And it was the last day of my trip. They were having the backyard shootout. And I was like, God, like I need to get out there and I need to use this. And I was hell bent on it. Mm-hmm. And it was early in the morning, and I hadn't really studied what was going to occur. You know, they were calling for 20 footers to pop up, and it was about 10 foot at the time. I was like, I got this. I'm just going to swim out in that channel like I did last year and do this thing. And like immediately I start swimming out there with fins in one arm, and I get a bad feeling, and it's just real bad. Mm. And, right when I get out into the impact zone, I was kind of sitting on the channel, but it was swirling. It was dark. Mm. And, all of a sudden the horizon just opens up, and it's just like feathering on the way outer reefs. And I'm like, oh man, here comes a set of sets. And I just got unloaded upon, and it nearly killed me. The first wave shot me to the bottom. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't hardly hold my breath. I didn't know what way was up or down. There was a surfer coming at me before I went down, and then I come up, and he's right next to me just like gasping for air himself. And I'll never forget his face, a Japanese guy. And then another wave is on its way to us and unloads directly in front of us, and we're kind of like inside sunset at this point, and just heavy as heavy gets. And we both go under. I spent another God knows excuse me how long just getting worked underwater, come up gasping, and he's gone. I have no idea where he went. And we do this for a little bit until the sets go by. I think it must have been three or four. And I make my way to the channel, and I start like trying to get to the beach, and I'm going nowhere because it's just pouring out to sea, just like a river.
That channel.
Yeah, the channel was moving. And and at this point, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. So that was near death. And I get saved by a North Shore lifeguard.
Did you?
It was a humbling experience. And he shows up on a rescue board, and we both get on the board, and he's like, you're going to have to paddle with me, or we're not going to get in. So I start paddling with him, and we make it to the beach. I'm just like shaking with just adrenaline.
Yeah.
And he is really cool about it all. He just like walks away. but then his lieutenant rolls up on a bike or an ATV and he chews me out. Like, you put my lifeguard in a dangerous situation. Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I was just like, just stood there silent, just taking it. And, Then I humbly walk up the beach to my car. My friend who I came to town with, John Cheshire, he goes, dude, I thought you were dead. I thought you had to, I was going to have to call Cornelia, that my wife, that you were dead. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, dude, I don't know what that was all about. So then another lifeguard on a bike rolls up as I'm getting into the car and proceeds to chew me out again, a different guy. And I just took it and I go back to my friend, Tim's house, Shanley, the guy I stay with at backyards, and I just like got in his like outdoor shower, just like shaking, like, what the heck did I just do? And I didn't go out to Sunset for another like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like I went to Hawaii, but I didn't touch Sunset. It took me a while to get back on the
man.
To even surf it. But that was my most humbling, I'd say embarrassing, but I tell the story as a lesson to everybody. Like think about what you're doing before you do it, because nothing is worth your life. Mm. And you got to know your limits. I was it was the antithesis story of what we just talked about. Mm. It was a lesson learned.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that.
Well, since I become a beach lifeguard myself, yes, which is like another thing, and it's just like I can't believe I did that and put others at risk. So
So you became a lifeguard after the fact.
Yeah, well, yeah,
because I know you've been,
yeah, 2000 involved. Yeah, this is 2006. I became a Wrightsville Beach Ocean rescue lifeguard in 2011.
Okay. Oh, wow. And you did that for how long?
I'm currently still with them.
Oh, sweet. Congrats to the Wrightsville Beach Lifeguard Ocean Rescue.
Yeah, they saved the life on Friday.
Yeah, Brian.
He's out of the hospital.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I got a text asking if I knew him, and I didn't know him, but yeah. Congrats. They do a great job.
Best in the nation. We got number one in the nation at nationals this year.
Oh, sick!
I was honored to be on the team.
Yeah, way to go! That was in Virginia Beach.
Yep.
Yeah, so cool. A lot of cool things happening here.
It's
right?
It's a great community.
It is, and man, Sean, I can't add to this. This has been great, and I appreciate you hanging out with me this morning, and man, where else could we go? I mean, we could go. We could keep going. Or we could land the ship. Maybe we should land the ship.
Hey, it's your podcast.
Yeah, that's true. But I hate saying no to such a great conversation. And let's land it, and we can keep talking afterwards.
We can do a part two someday.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Man, ladies and gents, My Wave Podcast, thanks for listening. And the interviewee gets to pick the closer. So where are we going? We're going My Wave, or are we going feeling?
Well, I come from the 90s, and I was a punk rocker in the 90s. So let's go with the surf punks.
Here we go, surf punks, My Wave. Thanks, y'all. Thanks, Sean, so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes, sir.